Hey everybody, and welcome to the Amateur Voice Actors Roundtable Podcast, where we just kind of talk about whatever is on our minds, and we bring what we can to the table, whatever it might be. Joining me today, I'm TZM Hero, and joining me today are Nitrocosm and Killrod X, special guest, filling in for Veroni Starchild. Say hi, everybody.
Howdy.
What, I'm not the special guest, I'm just kind of Starchild's temporary replacement? Okay.
Yeah, anyways. You're totally filling in for his shoes.
He's got big shoes.
And they are big. They are big shoes.
Anyways, evening, everybody.
Evening. So, yeah, we have some ideas on where we're wanting to go, and it's kind of a general idea where we're wanting to do with our podcast today, but we will feel free to go to different points wherever we want to go. So, yeah, it's more or less random. That's just how we do it. So, first off on the list, what have you guys been up to the last few weeks since either the last podcast or what have you?
Nitro, you go first. I have a big list.
Alrighty. Well, what I've been up to is fixing a little bit of code on my website, writing some integration tools with Twitter and Facebook and Brightkite and all that stuff. Just kind of experimenting with that. I got a new cell phone, so I've been playing with the barcode scanner and all that stuff on it, and writing some articles with what I've been fooling around with.
I saw that barcode scanner stuff. That actually looked really interesting. I never even really thought about something like that.
Oh, the QR code thing?
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Thanks. Let's see, what else? I've been procrastinating more on my webcomic, because I've been busy with my freelance work. other than that, really nothing else. Oh, I just got done watching Higurashi no Naku Koro ni Rei just minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
It's like 5 episodes long. It was pretty good.
Nice little OVA series, or what?
Beats me. I don't know, but I thought it was pretty good.
That's cool. What are you up to, Killrod X? Or been up to?
Let's say real life. Work. Just started school. Not getting much sleep, but that's normal. As for personal projects, finally finished Mugen AI Tournament 7. Finally.
Yes, you did. That was... I was almost in tears by the end of it. I was like, this was a labor of love.
Yeah, it's... I think for everybody involved, it's a big sigh of relief. Xenogears Dubbed has kind of been on the back burner. I've just been non-focused to get it done. And I have a feeling that the guy who voices Billy Lee Black might be replaced, because he hasn't been keeping in touch with me, so I don't know what's going on with him.
Mm.
Yeah.
I won't say names. He hasn't been talking to me either, but that's beyond the point.
But yeah, not too much else is going on.
What about that guy who does Faye? Is he going to get replaced? I mean, he seems kind of like a lousy voice actor. I mean...
Oh, well, I don't know.
Every time I hear the voice, I'm like, man, I cringe. I'm like, Starchild should do that voice.
Well, if you tell him that, you know. don't worry.
Back to old jokes.
You know, I'm sorry I didn't put Faye's cell phone ringing in at the last Xenogears Dub extra, but maybe next time I will.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I had an idea for how that would go, and it's kind of too late.
Oh,
anyways. Well. All right, so, what's next on the list, kind sir?
Well, I was going to actually talk about a game I've been playing, if you guys don't mind.
Go for it.
Okay. First off, dear listeners, I'd like you to jump into the slightly way back machine. It's not that way back, because it's only like 2 years ago that this game came out. But it is, I'm not sure if I say the name correctly, because I always mix it around. It's Final Fantasy VII Crisis Core, but I've heard other people say Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII. I don't really care on the name. have either of you played this at all?
Nope, I haven't played it, but I've heard it's really good.
I played a little bit of it when it was in a Japanese import. Wasn't really that into it, but it seemed fun at first. Anyways, so yeah.
Well, and I'm just kind of getting into it because I just got a PSP for Christmas, so I was looking for things to get, and I saw it for like $15, and I was like, this looks fun, and I do enjoy me some Final Fantasy. So I start playing the game, and I'm like, oh, hey, you're playing as Zack. He was, you know, the whole Zack side story was a very small, small story in Final Fantasy VII, but it was a big deal because it really explained who Cloud was and his background and how this character, who you only saw maybe twice in the game, really influenced him. And the idea that they decided to take this one little moment in backstory and completely flesh it out into its own game was interesting to me, especially since everyone literally knows the end. Spoiler alert, Zack dies.
Oh my god, he dies? No way.
No!
You guys can't see too much. I said spoiler alert before I said it, so you guys could have, you know, turned off your ears. People can do that, right?
Oh my god, yeah. You spoiled the game! I'm not going to play it anymore! You suck!
Guess what? Luke? What? Darth Vader is Luke's father.
Oh my god, no way!
Yeah, and even bigger, okay, listen. The Na'vi on Avatar, they're blue. It's
wait
crazy.
A minute.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I thought they were pink.
No, I know.
Dude.
I did too. I was like, what is this? Did they color change this? Is something wrong with the film? I started yelling at the screen. And I ran out of the room crying.
They ran out.
I tripped down some stairs, though.
They ran out of the normal ink,
yeah.
So they had to paint on blue. Because it was a cartoon, right?
Yeah. They didn't have any more of that cheese film.
I think the real issue there was that the creator of the Smurfs was involved.
Yeah.
And he had a little bit too much creative input at first.
Yeah. When all of the talks got done, they were just kind of like, well, we have Dances with Indians with Smurfs. Let's write this story. And, yeah. So, anyway, back to Crisis Core. Yes, Zack dies at the end. And that's interesting to me, because how is someone supposed to tell a story when everyone knows the ending? It's kind of like how it was slightly less well done in Star Wars Episode 3, when it's like everyone knows Anakin becomes Darth Vader. They just want to know how, you know? So you got to fill in the blanks when everyone knows the ending. How are you going to make that interesting? How are you going to make it worth watching? So far, I think the game more or less has done that. It's gotten me interested. It's made me care about this character that was literally just a background character that Cloud thought he was in 7, as far as I can tell, if I remember correctly. Do you guys remember the little Zack side story in 7?
Uh-huh.
Most of it.
He lived on that he lived in that little town on the beach.
Yeah.
And,
but you guys remember, like, what happened, how it influenced Cloud, or no?
He had an identity crisis, didn't he, after he was, he had Mako poisoning?
Yeah, the first time. He basically thought he was Cloud. I mean, he thought he was Zack, more or less.
It's been a long time since I played that game, but it's really good.
Yeah, it is a good game. Anyways, so I have yet to officially meet Cloud. I think I might have in the game. I don't know how to explain that exactly. Basically, you have the story missions, and then you've got the side quest little missions. And this game is like 90% side missions, and that's one of my only points I dislike about it. The fact that you'll have a story mission that'll last 20 minutes, and then you'll have like 15 side missions in between that'll each last, you know, 2 or 3 minutes at a time, but still, I feel like I'm leveling up like crazy in these side missions. Then I'll do a story mission and kill everything there is without breaking a sweat, and I'm like, something's wrong here.
And also, with side missions in a game that has an otherwise fairly linear story, is doesn't it create a lot of chronological confusion in the storyline when you do your side quests?
Yeah, although some of the side quests are kind of fun. After one of the story missions, you go to this place called Wutai, and that, if you ever played Final Fantasy VII, is where Yuffie was born and raised. It's her hometown. And you actually meet Yuffie as a small kid. Well, one of the side missions later on is you get an email from someone, because that's one of the things I really like, is Zach gets little email messages on his phone all the time, and you can read them, and it adds a little bit of interesting character. But you get a mysterious email from someone, which Zach promptly just puts into his spam folder. And if you read it, you're allowed to go on to a side mission where it's like, hey, I'm... it says, from a sexy woman. And you check it out, and it's actually 10-year-old Yuffie conning you into getting stuff for her.
Are you sure it's not trying to get stuff from you?
For her, I said.
No, it's supposed to be because Yuffie tends to steal stuff.
Yeah, that's what I meant. She cons Zach into getting stuff, and then she just takes it before he can get it. But half the times it's not even real stuff. Like, he goes to open the chest, she gets there before and runs off, and he's like, gosh, dang it. And then you get an email right after that, and she's like, all that was in there was a receipt. Now you need to get me some real treasure. And that's the little things I do love. One of the things I really dislike is, okay, in Final Fantasy VII, it was pretty cool with Sephiroth. He was the one-winged angel guy, right? And then in Advent Children and Kingdom Hearts, that was one of his big things, is it shows him with the one wing. And that made him interesting, made him different. In this one, two other characters suddenly get wings. And it's like, everyone in the game suddenly gets these wings about halfway through. And it's like, why do they all have these one wings? That doesn't work too well when it comes to flying. And then, you know, with where my mind goes, I just see them all flying in little circles going, okay, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You can't handle me now. I'm flying in a circle. And it's, yeah, it's... just the interesting little things in the game that make it worth it. The side quests are better than the main quest, and that's the bad part, but it's also a fun part. So, at the end of the day, I say it's a good game, but if you can look past the minor issues. So, beyond that, anything else you guys want to say on the matter, or do you think I've ranted enough?
I just don't have much to add on Crisis Core, since I haven't played it.
If I played a little bit more, then I probably would have some feedback myself, but nah, that's it for me.
You can get it online. Cough. PSP, it's a nut you can play with outside.
Alright, so what's next on the agenda?
Squirrels. Okay. On to another topic. One of the things Nitro mentioned when we were coming up with, when we were basically doing the proverbial, I think I'm using that word wrong, throwing the darts at the wall and ideas, one of the things Nitro mentioned was talking about voice actors in anime, the American versus the Japanese variation of the voice actors, and I just thought that'd be an interesting topic to talk about. Do you guys have anything specifically to say, like specific points to talk about?
Well, actually, I don't think that was my idea.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean, I'd like to talk about
it a
little
bit. Oh, that was Starchild's idea, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Starchild, that was totally your idea. I'm sorry.
Actually, Starchild's idea was about four kids, or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, the censorship on the four kids anime.
And then I mentioned voice acting.
Actually,
yeah, I totally came up with that idea. Totally, it was all me. I have sole ownership. I copyrighted it. Anytime anyone thinks of that idea now, they have to pay me $4.
hey, TZM, let's have a taco.
Oh, tacos?
Yeah, tacos? Let me just put this in your throat. I don't know how it'll go in.
Oh, you
ate the dough. Oh, shoot. I guess I'll go eat it by myself behind the tree. Anyways.
Actually,
sadly, TZM died because he ate too many tacos.
Actually, let's talk about...
his throat.
Alright, should we talk about the differences and similarities in voice actors, or should we go right to censorship?
Well, we can go over both. That's fine with me. One of the things I wanted to mention, even though I've been talking like crazy the last few minutes, was, yeah, there's sometimes a lot of instances where I know some people will be like, oh, I can't even watch an anime of a specific language just because the voices aren't what I think they should sound like, you know? Like, I tried watching, say, Rurouni Kenshin, and I just couldn't watch it because I was so used to the English voice acting. Especially since I was kind of like, Kenshin sounds like a girl. And then I looked it up and it was actually voiced by a girl. So that was very odd for me. But it's the same thing for Full Metal Alchemist. So, because Ed's voiced back by a woman in Japan too.
You know, the funny thing is, maybe I have really low standards, but I don't really mind anime that has what most people would consider bad English voice dub.
Typically,
I think I've just gotten so used to it.
Yeah, typically I don't either. Although, like I had kind of mentioned before, I was walking through the living room earlier and my little brother was watching that show Bakugan, and there were some people on the show and I was just like, they have the most generic English voice acting in the world. I mean, it was literally like, okay, I will fight you. You will fight me? No, you can't fight me.
Actually,
I will show you my Bakugan. No.
Actually, I was going to say, TZM, in regards to how you just reenacted the bad English voice acting, I don't mind English voice actors, but I think it's the way they bring the effort or the people they hire. I'm going to use one example. It's a game called Suikoden Tier Kreese for the Nintendo DS. Now, mm-hmm. It has English voice acting. My one gripe is the people that they have do most of the lines very terribly. The main character, he speaks his lines way too fast. seriously, it's like, oh, what the hell's going on? You guys okay? Seriously, let's get out of here. And then you have the other people.
Everyone else is,
time.
I don't think this is working right now. Okay, let's go!
But here's another thing. Even if they are taking their time, they aren't delivering the right type of emotion, so I'm guessing they don't get to see the clips of the gameplay they're reading off the script, but sometimes it just doesn't seem to fit with the scene. Like, let's say someone important dies, and they're trying to express that emotion of grief and sadness, and it sounds like it's... You try not to laugh, because it usually doesn't work too well for some weird reason.
Especially if you got something where someone's doing the exact wrong emotion. I'm so sad that guy's dying right now. I mean, really. Oh, I'm sad. It's like, Jim, what is it? You're laughing. You're actually supposed to be sad right now. I thought he was being sarcastic. No?
You know, you're supposed to read the script. See, it says it right here. It's highlighted where your character's supposed to speak. Oh. I thought that was the other guy's lines. My bad.
In fact, you've been reading the main female voice actor's lines throughout the whole thing. We actually haven't been recording you at all.
Oh, I see. No. Wow. Huh.
That's also why we haven't been paying you. In fact, you won't leave. We're actually, you're just someone who walked in and started screaming into a microphone. We don't really know why you're here.
The one thing that really stood out to me as far as, I usually don't nitpick voice acting too much when I watch anime, but on Gundam Wing, there was I don't remember the character's name.
If you describe what he looks like, we could probably name him for you.
Yeah.
He was like an older, I think he was an older guy and kind of bald. And I think he had a beard, but...
Oh, bald really guy bearded voice. Dude, I remember him.
And it's like, this one scene, I remember, they're like, it's a Gundam, and he's like, that's how he was supposed to be saying. He's supposed to be saying,
wait,
he was supposed to be saying, what?
No.
He was supposed to be saying, what? But it came out.
I can see how that happened, you know, because they're sitting there going, guys, we have 3 minutes before we have to get this translation out. We don't have that one last line. And they just hear, like, our cat in the background. Meow! Record that. Hurry. Put it in the booth. Okay, book it with a sick. There we go.
Well, actually, the guy was sick.
Oh. I thought you were going to be like, yeah, there was this character. He had really long hair. His hair was brown. And he was in the Death Scythe. Which character was that? Oh, Gundam Wing. So many fangirls.
Actually, I do have a question for both of you. Why do you think most people hate English voice actors and prefer Japanese voice actors, from your opinion?
You want my honest opinion?
Whoever wants to go first.
Go ahead, Nitro.
Okay, in my honest opinion, and I don't know how much hate mail I'm going to get for this, but I think in the case of a lot of people, it's just to sound like they're more elite anime fans.
Hmm.
And in other words, a lot of people might say that and not mean it.
You know, this is my personal thought on the matter. It may even be just my preference, but it's basically whatever I saw the language in first, typically. Some of them, not always. But, like, I've been watching Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood in Japanese. And even though I love Vic Mignogna's version of Edward Elric, I'm already used to this other voice now, you know? And it's the same thing when Advent Children was leaked, you know, months and months and months before it came out in America. It was leaked online in the Japanese version with subtitles. And I watched that until my computer couldn't play it anymore.
I just wanted to clarify on the earlier point I said, I didn't mean that everyone who pointed out bad English voice acting was putting on airs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an easy way for a lot of maybe less experienced anime fans to try to make themselves
sound more
seem like,
yeah,
right. It's like you know, someone says they know Japanese, but when they say certain Japanese words, they're completely mispronounced. But even I'm guilty of that, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's like how certain people will. It's like how you go onto like a web forum. And there'll be someone who's just being a jerk just for the sake of being a jerk because they think that's what's going to make them popular. You know?
I think also you have to put in mind that a majority of anime fans are late middle school, high school students who still need to grow up.
Yeah. This is true.
This is very true.
And some of them are recent high school graduates that...
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't think there's anything wrong with watching anime. I mean, I enjoy watching it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people who complain about stuff, and they'll be like, oh my gosh, I don't like Gundam Wing's English voice acting just because the Japanese one is amazing, and listen to this guy scream. Okay, I get it. I admit it. There's some things that I've listened to where I was kind of like, oh my gosh, that was really heartfelt sounding. I don't understand a word of it. I'm reading subtitles. But that really fit the character. And then
and that's interesting.
Yeah. And then you listen to the English variation, you're kind of like, okay, that's a different take on it, and it's in English, so I can understand it. I mean, I personally just hated the English dub for Advent Children, just because I had listened to the Japanese one forever. And then listened to the English one, bought it, listened to it, sold the DVD about 3 days later.
You know, there's something really funny about watching anime and subtitles, is that you get the inflection and the tone in their voice, even though if you don't speak Japanese, you don't understand what they're saying, and you have to read the subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
But a funny thing with me is when I watch anime subtitled, I will remember it as if it were spoken in English. I'll remember what I read, matched up with the inflection and tone of their voices. And in my memory, when I think about it, I remember it as if it were spoken in English.
Yeah. And then when you hear the English version, it almost jars your senses at first. You're kind of like, what's going on here? Especially if the translation's different.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Hmm. Because I remember watching Evangelion in Japanese with the subtitles on the DVD itself. Because one of my friends was like, oh, I hate Asuka's voice actor in English. Let's watch it in the Japanese. And I was like, okay. So we watched two episodes in it. And then I rewatched those same episodes, even had the subtitles on, and they were nowhere near what they were saying translation-wise. I mean, it might have well been a totally different show.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes they take a little bit too many liberties with the translation.
Yeah. Well, and then that's where you get the infamous Believe It on Naruto, where they couldn't translate something over, so they just threw something in. And that goes right along with the censorship issue, like one of you guys mentioned before.
There was something I wanted to input in, kind of my viewpoint on why people prefer the Japanese over English voice actors. Now, I know one of you guys mentioned about the emotion and the tone that Japanese voice actors give out. I'm sure that a majority of you guys know that most of these Japanese voice actors went through either voice acting school or they just have a natural talent, because I know in Japan, Japanese voice acting is very popular. Now, one thing that most people I don't think know, this I was talking about with one of my managers, before a show starts, the whole entire cast will actually get together in a room, read the script over, and actually help improve one another, so this way they can deliver the lines better, try to figure out what maybe they could do. As well, let's say you go to a recording studio in, let's say, Los Angeles, they usually just have one person in the recording booth and maybe one or two people.
Yeah, they may never meet the other person that they're acting against.
And going a little bit off topic here, going towards my Xenogears fan dub, that's kind of what I've been trying to do with everybody else. Try to get us together, maybe do rehearsing and all that fun stuff, but things kind of don't go the way they are supposed to. But anyways, going back on subject. So, yeah, I think that's kind of another reason why most people prefer the Japanese voice actors over American voice actors. But American voice actors are getting better. I remember, I think it was, I don't know if it was Tenshimoyo or another earlier anime that was dubbed in English back when I was younger. The voice acting was terrible. I think that's kind of a psychological thing that people reflect on, so if they listen to a bad English-voiced anime, they're going to probably think, oh, well, it's going to be terrible, just like so-and-so from previous. Let's see what else they had. Then I remember they tried mimicking the Japanese voice actors into English. Or in the rare instances, they'll actually...
And that never works.
There's always a rare instance. Going to Gundam Wing... I think the guy who voiced Wu Fei in Japanese was also the English voice actor for him as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Yeah. That's kind of like one of those rare instances.
I did not know that.
I could probably look it up later.
Huh.
But, yeah. Kind of lost my self here.
That is interesting. I really did like Gundam Wing, although I went to review it again recently, and I was kind of like, I don't remember all of this political drama. I just remember giant robots fighting.
Yeah, so did I. I was like, ooh, shiny robots destroy weak, mass-produced robots. Awesome!
Yeah.
All of the Gundam shows seem to be jam-packed with a lot of political strife.
Also military and all that kind of stuff.
I just remember being like, oh, Duo's awesome. Hey, there's Ketra. All right, Wu Fei, you know? And, oh, Hiro Yui. And I remember calling him Hiro because I didn't understand the whole kind of accent.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, his name's Hiro Yui. That's a silly name. Who would name their kid Hero?
And then you find out why. And it's like, oh.
Yeah.
He's...
That's not even his name.
He was named after the leader of the space colonies who got assassinated or something like that. Or in this case...
By the... Yeah. The guy who, like, raised him assassinated the dude. According to the manga, yeah. Anyways.
Pointless random Gundam Wing fact, did you guys know that almost all the main characters are named after numbers?
Yes.
Okay.
I did. And I was saying that to one of my friends, and he was like, oh my gosh, seriously? And I'm like, the guy's name is Ketra. Come on. And he's like, well, okay. I'm like, there was another dude named Trace. Seriously? And he's like, okay, I get you. Duo. He's like, okay, he can stop now. This is the Gundam Wing Podcast! Hey, no, out of hand.
Hey, Nitro, do you want to have this burrito? You look over at the shotgun. Here, I'll put it in your
Yay.
Mouth.
Actually, I eat shotguns.
Anyways.
they're tasty. Yeah.
It's chewing gun. I chew gun, not gum.
Duke Nukem here? I kick ass. Chew guns.
That's how you need a...
I'm all out of gun.
A renegade, you need a Harley, a beer, a gun, and a chubby cigar.
Good times. Anyways,
you just described my favorite movie. No,
Well, since I kind of brought up about censorship... Oh, yeah, that's right. We were going to talk about censorship in anime for kids or something like that, aren't we?
Yeah.
You mean, like, how they replace the word kill with
or
destroy?
Send you to hell.
Yeah, actually, I heard something similar to that recently, that they were making fun of, there's this tokusatsu show in Japan. I don't remember what the name... is, I think it's Garo. And that show is very much not for kids. Like, there's killing and death and slicing and stuff. And someone made fun of it and took and made, like, a fake trailer for it as if it would be for kids. And they're like, we are on top of these rooftops and we must fight each other to the death, or at least until one of us, you know, doesn't feel good and has to go home. Now we're on the ground. Good thing we took those stairs. Yeah, I mean, who would jump? Yeah, someone could have gotten hurt. That would be bad to tell the kids, you know, jumping off buildings? Jeez. It was funny to me.
It sounds like those, if 4 kids dubbed Death Note and 4 kids dubbed Higurashi. Nightmare.
Well, and that was the whole joke. It was brought to you by 4Kids.
Right. Okay.
I forgot to put that in there. I'm sorry. Yeah, if 4Kids did Death Note, that would have been great.
If 4Kids did Death Note, all it would be is the death guy eating apples. I can't even remember his name. I've only seen a few episodes.
Oh, Ryuk.
Yeah. He likes apples.
Yes, he does.
A lot.
Well, he explained that it's like alcohol for them, or a very potent type of drug, where after they have some, it's like really great for them, but then they go into withdrawals. So
that makes it less funny.
Yeah, with him, he's like twisting up. Those withdrawals for them are crazy. He starts, like, hanging off the ceiling, and he's all, like, twisting himself in a ball.
Hey, they ought to make a cereal based on that called Apple Crack.
Apple Crack.
So that's what the white stuff is on it. Huh. I wonder it's so good.
Mom, can we get some more Apple Crack? As long as you drink it with milk.
I think you realize it's not milk.
No, I wonder why the kids are so hyper.
Mom! Ooh, hot dog!
I just thought they had
ADD. Oh, yeah.
From the makers of Apple Jack, spring Ackle Crack. Apple Crack.
Are your kids lethargic? Do they not want to get off the couch?
Give them some apple crack. They'll be bouncing off the walls all day.
Go outside and play. Jeez, leave me alone. Mom, can we get some more? Can we get some more, Mom? Please? I just want a little more. I don't know why. I want more breakfast.
You just ate the whole entire box in 1 hour.
Can we have lunch and dinner?
What's wrong with you?
I need more crack.
Like, don't you mean no?
Gods.
No, it's Shinigami Metro. You don't want the rabbit elf fangirls going after you.
Yeah. Which, L, I did enjoy L, even though the person who voiced him basically took, basically the idea was, I'm going to speak in a monotone voice for the entirety of an episode and people are going to love me. And that
Something
was it.
About people who don't sleep, pale, sit hunched over, eat sweets is apparently very sexy for preteens.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know, that part where he eats all the sweets, that just makes me hungry.
Dude, didn't you eat before the podcast?
And I loved his reasoning behind it. He was all eating sweets, and the guy's like, won't you get, like, fat or something? He's like, well, you know, the most powerful muscle in the body is the brain, and he's literally thinking himself thin.
I wish I could do that.
Me too.
You found out my secret. I haven't eaten.
It's like, I actually eat all the time. I've actually got an IV in my arm just so I don't die because I think too much.
Oh, dear God.
Apple crack.
Yeah, it'd be like one of those commercials. You know how they have the smoking commercials, you can end up like me. It just shows L. If you eat apple crack, you can end up like me.
No, the Pee Wee Herman crack PSA.
Oh my gosh. This is crack. I can't do his voice.
No, I think I was going to try, but I can't do it.
I'm not
going to
do it now because then I probably make little kids' ears bleed. Anyways. Apple crack.
Little kids? Little kids are going to listen to
this?
Duh.
You know that.
Well, and then when they come out with apple crack, I mean, and it's like when you had Coca-Cola, it had cocaine
in
it.
That'd be called Crack-a-Cola.
Crack-a-Cola?
Mm-hmm. I can go for a big old bucket of pop right
What's
now.
What's a Crack-a-Cola?
Big old bucket of what?
A bucket of pop.
Oh, pop, when you go, yes, pop.
When you go to the movie theater, I
Too
said,
late.
No, Papa, Oscar, Papa, pop. But I want to get a bucket of popcorn, which you get in a movie theater, get a big old tub of popcorn, like swimming in butter, and a thing of candy, and a big old bucket of pop.
Big old
I know
bucket
it sounds like
the bucket
sounds
bigger
like
than the popcorn
pot,
bucket.
Pop.
That's why I find it very funny.
I call it the Omega Glug.
It's like a big red bucket with a handle and everything, and they just you go up to the concession stand and you say you want a bucket of pop. And they give you a big red bucket, and they just put it under the fountain. They say, just say when. And I look at them, I say, until it's overflowing, man. Just keep it going. You know, I'll sit there and put a straw in that bucket and finish that thing in the movie. But when the movie's over, watch out.
Or unless you're watching movies like, say, Titanic or something, where it's like, how long is this movie? You're kind of doing the dance in your seat. Doing the bob and the legs.
They're showing waterfalls and stuff.
Yeah. That's all it's doing is waterfalls.
The ship is sinking.
There was a...
But I have to go take a...
Look at all of that water.
No.
It's... I don't want to watch it anymore.
Oh, God. Leonardo DiCaprio took a in the final scene when he's dying in the freezing water. Wonder he died.
Whoa!
Oh.
Good night, everybody!
He's like, hey, I had to keep myself warm somehow. I mean, come on.
It's alright, he died anyways. And I don't want to say how he died.
It's like... what gets me is they couldn't take turns, you know, on the floating thing they were on.
Oh, like the debris or something?
They could have been like, it's been 5 minutes, time to jump in.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if I want to. Shut up, you're going to get in. And then there's always the Family Guy variation where he's popped back up and he's like, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to live. Fun times. Censorship in anime. A lot of animes get censored. What do you guys think is probably the worst censoring job ever?
From 4Kids or from another company? Because I can think of Deke as one example.
Your name kind of says it all, doesn't it?
Deke, yeah, that's one of them that really does bad.
Yeah, Sailor Moon. Yeah.
Oh, Sailor Moon. We're cousins.
Yeah.
That just that says, I think, enough for most anime fans. They get the joke. We're really close cousins.
Yeah, I don't even know anything about that show, and I already know what you mean.
They couldn't even finish the rest of the series because later on you find out that there's this group that can transform from guys to girls and vice versa. And it's like, how are we going to explain that one?
I think they did actually finish the dub in another country, and their explanation was that they had identical sisters that were in an alternate dimension, that when they transformed, instead of transforming, they just switched places.
Corn cob.
Anyways. Oh, God.
That's what I read on ye old Wikipedia.
I'll have to check that out. And Nitro?
No, it wasn't Wikipedia. It was on, I can't think of the site. Yeah. Never mind.
I was going to say.
Let's just say ye old Wikipedia right now.
Nitro. Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yes.
Oh. Corn!
Me, I was like, no, not the zebra and the beast.
You'll die! My head!
That's it. That's how Grape is going to be sounding from the rest of the tub. He's going to be yelling corn from now on, and you have to voice him.
I'm not going to voice anybody. Yeah.
Anyways. I'm going to fun amplifying this sucker.
Earlier, Nitro, when you were talking about the overflowing soda, I was just thinking of Grave being like, do you want the soda?
Dude, you just spit my soda.
No. No, I don't want it.
Oh, dude.
It's like glowing.
Graph versus graph.
Does this include the power? Actually, it originally meant to segue in this when I mentioned movie theaters, but I said Titanic, which is also directed by the same guy. Avatar has broke a movie record.
Yes, it has.
It has made the most money a movie has made in the history of movies. Where before it was Titanic with roughly $1.8 billion in total amounts of money that it has made. Avatar has met that and passed it in much, much, much less time. It took Titanic 40 weeks in theaters to do that. Avatar's done it in 6.
Wow.
And that's pretty extreme.
Yeah, it is. And I hear it's a good movie, but that still surprises me an awful lot. You know, I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't? What?
No, I haven't.
I refuse to talk. Well, next QRX is going to be like, I haven't seen it either. And I'll be like, oh, I'm not going to talk to you either.
Well, even if I said that I saw it, you probably would think, no, he's just saying that because he'll know that'll kick him out. No, I saw the movie.
So how's it end?
Sorry, what did you say? Wow, it just went over my
head. Anyways, yeah, it's a big deal for a lot of sci-fi fans, even though 90% of sci-fi fans wanted this movie to fail just because they were like, it's Dances with Indians with the Smurfs on a planet.
With a little bit of StarCraft.
So, a little StarCraft, a little of The Last Samurai, basically any of those movies where it's like, I'm someone who needs to learn about something from another culture. I've become part of this culture. I love this culture now. Something isn't going to attack this culture. I'm going to fight them, even though I'm on the other side, really. I'll fight on this side of the culture. We won. Yay.
Is there a Gargamel? A Gargamel equivalent?
No.
Gargamel.
There wasn't anything that big. But I'm sure there was a resemblance to a cat.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And there was way too many females. There wasn't just one girl, so... I'm sorry, Nitro, but the only similarity is that they're blue.
And there was a Papa Smurf, but he died.
Yeah, there was. There was a Papa Smurf. He was there. Okay. And he wore red, crazy enough. He wore a red hat.
See, I was on to something after all.
I don't... I think that was just a great big similarity. You're silly.
Oh, my God.
No, But yeah, I thought it was a pretty good movie. I went and saw it in 3D. One of the things I do have to complain about is the fact that although I didn't have that issue at my cinema, a lot of times 3D glasses are hard to use over normal glasses because I am a four eyes. I do wear glasses, but these ones did fit. The bad side was that it hurt my eyes after a while. And with a three-hour-long movie, I had a migraine afterwards, and my eyes were watering and hurt. I mean, the movie was good. I enjoyed it. But by the end, I was kind of like, I am ready to go home.
I think I'm glad... I think I'm glad to say that I didn't see it in 3D.
Well, 3D was... It was amazing. It looked great. It was like the movie was meant to be in 3D. But also, I was still kind of like, it's kind of like going swimming in a very chlorinated pool and deciding, I can look underwater with my eyes open! And feeling the pain afterwards.
Yeah, that's fun. I like to do that.
It is kind of fun. It's not as fun as eating apple crack, but it's pretty fun. I'm going to keep bringing that one back. It's going to keep being brought up back. Okay, guys?
You're supposed to wait 15 minutes before swimming after eating apple crack.
Yeah, you are, because not only will you get cramps, you'll become a woman.
Oh.
Even if you're already a woman, you'll become another woman.
If you swim in warm water... Wait, how does that work in Ron Mahaff? I forget.
I think...
I became a panda bear.
Oh.
Plot device! So, anything else we wanted to talk about with Avatar, besides it was a good movie?
There were some instances that I did dislike with, I thought the main bad guy was practically cartoonish. You know, I was just waiting for him to say, I love the smell of napalm in the morning, you know? Because it was literally the same character. He could have started spouting Patton lines for all I knew, you know? Or he could have just started yelling, what's your major malfunction? We know who's editing this one, huh?
Yeah, not me.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Kill Red X is just kind of like, I don't have to edit this. Wait a second here.
I know, I don't have to be a director today. I'm so happy.
Yeah, that's what's funny is I'm like the host, but Nitro's the director.
No, he's just the editor-in-chief.
He's the editor-in-chief.
Nah, I kind of become a control freak and start directing, too.
Yay, power struggle.
No, TCM, you're saying it wrong. What?
I like to make things easy. Yep.
We have one more thing.
Yes.
Webcomics.
You said it.
Yeah.
What? Cookies?
Webcomics.
Webcomic cookies.
What?
Cookish.
Cockish!
Yeah, I don't know what that has to do with cookies.
Okay.
Me neither. It's just they fit somehow. Webcomic cookies. There's cookies for your webcomics.
Web cookies.
You just took the idea right out of my mind.
Cookies are little text files that your browser stores to keep track of a state of your use of a website. I use them sparingly.
Yes.
Okay.
I like to dump my cookies after they are done.
You eat your saved history?
Yes.
I do. You know how I do it? Okay. So, I combine all the different cookie files into one big text file.
Mm-hmm.
And then I send it online to this place that makes printed cakes. You know how you can get a photograph on a cake and you can do it online? and then you can go pick up the cake at your grocery store or whatever. And so I just print out the content of all the cookie files and send it to go get a cake made, and then it's printed out on the cake.
www.cookish.com.
And I get one of those cookie cakes, you know, and I have it printed on top of the cookie cake because apparently they can do that because I said they could. And I take it home and I eat it. And the whole time, I'm guarding it from Rico because I'm like, Rico, you're coming to my palace to steal my cookies.
He's just looking over there like, what the heck's going on?
Hey, you're trying to steal my cookies too.
What?
You know, I could see Grafe just, he's probably a lot like, oh gosh, Nitro, what's your character's name?
Tora.
What?
The cookie-ish one. Guy who healed Faye and Ellie.
Wrong guy.
Kaiser Sigma.
Kaiser! Yes, Kaiser.
Kaiser. The Kaiser. Kaiser of Kislev. Oh, wait.
I don't know why I was screwing that up. Anyways, I can see Grafe being similar to Kaiser, where he's just kind of stuck in, like, someone just kind of puts him in a corner, and it's kind of like, yeah, you just do your hand motions, and Grafe will just offer random things the power. You know?
He'll offer the pipe organ the power.
Hey, do you want the power?
That's a pipe organ, Grafe. Come on over here. It's okay.
Do you want it?
No, I don't want the power. You offered it to me the other day. Come on. It's okay. No, calm down.
Oh,
it's
man,
time
what
to
if
sleep.
I can do this?
It's time to sleep. Power? No power. No power. He just starts ranting, and then they just inject him. He's like, power.
That would explain how Wiseman
like,
comes out.
Knew
it.
I know. When Wiseman pops out, I'm just kind of like, man, I had a weird dream. Because that's totally how Wiseman sounds. Oh, no.
I think I...
Poor Kaiser.
Okay. Back to web comics. They're comics, coincidentally, on the web.
And also,
question mark?
Forums that are very harsh to upcoming artists. Mega Tokyo!
Yes, they are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you've noticed that too, have you?
I've ventured the Mega Tokyo forums. I'm not a member there, but yeah, their critique is, they hurt. I think they've gone past that now.
I'll tell you what.
It's a little bit worse than saying someone epically failed.
I got a lot to say about some of the admins for the art and critique forums, but I'll keep that off this podcast because we're trying to keep it PG-13.
Mm. Well, what's your opinion on Mega Tokyo in general?
I've never been on the site, so I wouldn't know. So I'll leave that to Nitro.
The webcomic... As much as I don't like the forums on that website, I really like the webcomic. Fred Gallagher has amazing stamina as an artist. He's been doing it since 2000. He's still doing it, and he still keeps pretty much the schedule.
That's cool.
As someone who's tried to do webcomics myself, I can't stick to a schedule worth anything when it comes to drawing, because, you know, I have the inspirations there. It's not.
Yeah.
He sticks with it, and it's amazing.
I can see where that would be an issue when it comes to schedule. I mean, I remember back when I was like, okay, let's do this Vagrant Story dub thing, all right. And I start coming up with ideas, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna make a schedule, and it's gonna be this time, and we're gonna do this. I literally got that little thing Kilradex and I did done, and it took like 3 months to actually do. To get around to actually recording. And I'm like, wow, that schedule didn't work.
Yeah.
It came out really well. I liked it. I still feel cheap by it. I was pretty much doing an impersonation of Kilred X's version of Sydney by the end, but oh well.
Kilred X, you brought up an interesting topic that would actually be good to talk about if you guys want to, and that's... You know, when does critique for up-and-coming artists go too far? When does it not go far enough?
Well, I stand by the idea that if you're going to have criticism, let it be constructive. Don't just break someone down, regardless if they deserve it or not.
Yeah, that kind of also goes for upcoming voice actors, but talking about webcomics here, so...
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're doing TZM, then you're just gold every time.
Totally. I think there's also the fine line between picking favorites and just even if people are good and you still hate their guts, you're still just going to ransack them.
Yeah, and that's what kind of irritates me about some people online is they'll get into their own kind of cliques, and it's like someone else tries to come in and they're kind of like, you're not allowed to be part of our club because you're a new guy.
Oh, yeah, I see that. I see that a lot in certain webcomic forums that we just mentioned not too long ago.
I just broke my clock.
I was going to say, isn't DeviantArt similar to that? Except they're not technically webcomic, it's just a giant place where you can post your artwork.
You know, it used to be very friendly to artists, but just in the last few years, right before I'd got rid of my account not too long ago on there, I've had a lot of people just go on there and be snots.
I have an account on there, but I haven't edited it, like, in forever. Last time I updated the journal on it was, like, Christmas, not last year, but the year before that.
I've been told to go to DeviantArt just to get my artwork critiqued, and I've kind of avoided that place. Not because I probably won't be able to take the criticism, but just the immature, maybe one-sentence comment that has no feedback whatsoever, just completely saying, you're crap.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that going on pretty much on everywhere where people post artwork. I think, you know, if someone's going to give you criticism, they need to say specifically what they think is wrong with it, tell you what they think
also,
you should do to fix it.
One thing that nobody really does most of the time, provide you with examples. Like, let's say you do this portion of the body wrong and you're trying to explain it, well, why not go to a website or show an image of what you're trying to explain? Maybe the person will get an idea instead of just bad-mouthing them.
Yeah, most people like to use the word lopsided or looks off and things like that, and that does nothing but create frustration.
How off is it?
Well, and one of the things I always got told when I would put up a picture, which none of my pictures I thought were very good, it was just kind of like, hey, this is what I felt like doodling, and I put it online. And I would get a couple people like, oh, that looks stupid. But every so often, you'd get someone where I would openly say, I know I didn't draw this person's body very well. And the person would respond with, well, what you could do is do, like, some art of actual, like, living things, or look up how a person looks and keep practicing that so you can get how a person's body might look. Mm. You know?
Yeah, there are some good books out there that teach you how to really grasp an understanding of the anatomy and what the proportions are. I picked up a really good one. It's called, can't remember off the top of my head. I'd have to go grab it to find the title, but I've been using that a lot.
There's a really good one called The Human Body in Motion, but that has, some people might complain about it, mostly because everyone in it is
nude. Yeah.
Naked.
Oh, yeah, same with one I've got.
I went cheap inside to get the How to Draw Manga books, which, surprisingly, aren't that bad. They've gotten better, but, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of
them
have gotten better.
They're good. I've got three of them, and, you know, they're helpful along with the other ones, but definitely have some traditional drawing instruction books,
preferably real life.
Yeah, one of the biggest things you got to stress is just practice, because, I mean, I don't practice. I'll doodle and be like, man, I think this looks bad, and then throw it away, and then doodle again 3 months later and be like, man, this looks bad. I don't sit there and practice. I used to be moderately good. I can do stuff on a computer pretty well, but that's it, you know?
The last time I drew very seriously was back in high school, and from then I kind of just lost motivation. Then I started up again back in 2004. I remember I was with this drawing group online, and we would pick something we would draw, either be fictional or real life, post our stuff up after 2 hours, and then we critique the stuff. There's this one guy who, again, an elitist. He used to suck up a lot to our teacher because she was very good both realism and cartoons. And he would kind of leave some feedback, but he also left very hateful feedback while trying to be constructive. And he kind of critiqued a couple of my artwork and pretty much destroyed it. So, kind of thanks to him, I haven't really been drawing much since. I actually stopped, I think, for a good 2 years before I decided to get back into the mood. And
Yeah.
That happened with me a few times. Someone just completely ripped my work apart, and that's how I kind of developed more of a thick skin to it now, but it definitely demotivated me to the point where I just didn't want to draw at all. I just didn't feel like I was making any progress.
Well, that's one of the hardest things to do, is to sit there and understand that there is always going to be someone's going to be like, ah, you're crap. And I don't know what's more irritating, someone going, ah, you're crap, and then someone randomly yelling at that person saying, why are you saying they're crap? It's like, okay, I thank you for sticking up for me, but I don't like seeing fights online regardless.
Feeding the
know.
Trolls.
Yeah.
Then again, no matter what to...
And we all know what trolls are like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've had a couple of those, but no matter what type of hobby or profession you do, you're always going to have those type of people who just sometimes take joy in making your life miserable because they aren't as good.
Yeah. Right, yeah. And the thing to remember is not to concentrate on how bad or how far away from where you want to be you are now, but to look at the progress you've made so far and say, well, if I've made this much progress so far, then there's no telling how much progress I'm going to make in the future, because it's not linear.
Well, in talking about improvement, I mean, you look at, say, not to, like, plug it or anything, but Kill Red X, I mean, you look at your dub, and from the first episode to the current episode, I mean, look at the leaps and bounds and improvement everyone has made.
Going on to that, adding on to it, the quality of the microphones, a lot of people have gotten better pop filter or noise canceling microphones. I'm very happy about that. Number two, trying to practice rehearsing with the characters, maybe doing a character separately instead of doing all the characters in one go. I've learned that from experience after listening to enough people complain about my Fae. And also just trying new things.
Well, and I never meant to complain about it as bad, just...
Yeah, I know.
That was one of the things that came up a lot in the old commentaries was, how do you think Faye sounds right now? Well, I think he sounds slightly like Sitan, or he sounds slightly like Bart right now.
Well, actually, now that you mention it, it's kind of, from season one, you sound like Sitan, but now season two, Faye and Bart kind of sound a little similar, but not too much.
Well, and that's just how anyone's going to get. I mean, people only have a certain vocal range,
right.
You know?
And I think another thing I've been trying to do is, not to pick on Starchild, but try to alter my voice so this way I can sound different.
Yeah, I at one time thought about doing that for Grafe, being like, you know what, I'm going to maybe drop him like an octave or something, but I was like, I think that just loses a little bit for me. And yeah, not to pick on Starchild, I mean, what he does is really good. I couldn't think of anyone else voicing Riku or Hammer. And it's always funny hearing Hammer and just being like, man, he just kind of made this character his own. And it was completely different from my take on Hammer.
Yeah.
You know? But that's also with the respect that I think, the only person in the cast that hasn't played the game. So 90% of the characters, I just went in blind.
Right. I'm not saying what Starchild is doing is bad. I mean, it's really good professional stuff. Because I didn't tell him how to voice the character. He's played the game. He knows how the character should sound from his viewpoint. And it works well. Everybody likes his Ricardo Banderas, and they like his Hammer. Preferably, more of us like his Hammer than his Riku, because Hammer's just that funny.
Well, everyone's just going to love Hammer just because he's the comic relief. And you almost needed that by that point in the story, because it, I mean, without Hammer, the whole story would be pretty depressing by this point.
Well, that's...
Yeah. But I gotta say, I really like his Riku voice, too, because it's deep. It's got some meat to it. It just, it's a deep, growling voice, and it's perfect, I think, for Rico. But I digress.
And how about that Grave guy? Jeez, whoever does his voice. Early season one did a great job.
I know, because as Starchild put it, you know, he makes everyone sound so just damn sexy.
I know.
And you wonder why I gave you Graf, and I think you fit his role fine, perfectly.
I do find it funny that you have possibly the goofiest guy in the cast playing the Bane bad guy.
And it works.
Well, I'd originally actually wanted to talk about, you guys did say Mega Tokyo, the actual comic. I've actually not seen the comic, so is it a good comic?
I've read a couple of books over at the Borders near where I work, and it's pretty interesting. I've never read the webcomic itself, so kind of just out of loop there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Nitro, go ahead.
I've been following the webcomic since about early 2002, if I can remember correctly. And I've read all the archive pages too, so I'm up to date on everything. I've met Piro in person, and I bought a couple of the Mega Tokyo books at Anime Central.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I've read the whole thing. I've been following the story. It's a really good story. It's very complex. Now his drawings are all pencil style. He doesn't color them in or anything. He does do some hatch shading, which looks nice. But it is, you know, it's the standard, you know, black and white manga style, more or less. His own art style. But it's pretty good. I'd say my favorite thing about it is the complex storyline and the characters.
Yeah, what you had mentioned about his own art style, I think that's one of the things a lot of people have a hard time finding is their own art style.
Oh, God, don't even...
Because I see so many people who are just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to copy this style someone else does. It's like when I look at my old doodles from when I was in high school, everything I drew looked like Dragon Ball Z characters.
I was going to say, since I just cut you off, don't forget the people who claim that their work is original when they don't give credit to the original artist, because I do know somebody who did that. They copied the person who did the artwork for Slayers and claimed it as their own. But I digress.
Oh, no.
Yeah, hopefully that person isn't listening, but I'm sure they don't.
I told you I'm sorry.
My favorite thing about Mega Tokyo's style is the fact that Piro doesn't try to copy any traditional manga style. He went in there with his own style, and his style's evolved, but it's his, and it doesn't look like other styles.
Yeah, what I was going to comment on was, I don't know if either of you two read VG Cat.
I've read them now and then.
That's one of them that I enjoy reading every once in a while, even though it's not a series exactly of comics that are connected to one another. 90% of them are just riffing on a particular game that may have come out or is going to come out. But I'm also a gamer, so yeah, like no one can figure that out after I ranted for half an hour about Crisis Core. But a lot of the jokes are really good. The guy does have his own art style. Now, I've heard some people complain that his art style has degraded. I don't think so. I think he's just created his own form. Because, I mean, you look at his really early stuff, looks like... and I can't say the guy's name. His first name's Scott, but his first stuff looked very manga inspired, and I think actually the first couple were pencil drawn, but everything now is done, you know, tablet PC. But it's not, I wouldn't say simplified art, but it's just an interesting difference than what you're used to seeing. And that's one of them I really enjoy.
Yeah, I like it. I think his writing style is kind of similar to Family Guy, where he relies a lot on pop culture references, gaming references, like you say, but also pushing the envelope. He tries to see how offensive some of his stuff can get. I mean, it's still funny and all, but...
Yeah. Well, and he even had, as an April Fool's joke one year, it was literally just super dry. Oh, do you get it? This is the joke now. Oh, ha ha ha, hey, look at this. This is a reference towards bad things, you know. And it was literally poking fun at his own humor. And he's like, well, I decided to change it up a little bit, so I hope you guys like the new style of VGCats. And that was the April Fool's joke. We should really pre-do this stuff.
But this...
I'm sorry.
It's more fun when we're just going in blind.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, we come up with stuff like apple crack.
Oh, yeah.
Apple crack.
Hot dog, Cincinnati style. Yeah.
All the school kids are doing it.
They eat some apple cracks and some crack cola. Baby, really bounce off the walls.
You're not cool if you're not doing apple crack, dude. I mean, really seriously. I mean, it's as serious as my voice right now. Come on, it's apple crack.
You want some crack cola? I get some crack cola right here.
That sounds like Mr. T. And I don't think Mr. T messes around with a cracker cola.
Well,
he does have his own
Flavor Wave oven, which, yeah.
Oh, this is true. Which you could technically, but we won't get into that because talking about drugs is bad.
Drugs by
Pineapple Express. I never watched the whole movie. Anyways, another webcomic I really liked is called Sequential Art. If any of you guys ever saw that.
No.
I've heard of it, and I may have seen it, but it doesn't really ring a bell that much.
It's really similar to if you ever read Gold Diggers. It has a lot of characters that are anthropomorphic, meaning there's cat girls and fox girls and
furries. Run for your lives!
Oh my gosh! And there's a nerdy penguin who likes fantasy RPGs. And there's a squirrel girl who sounds really stupid, but it comes out she's one of five. And if you get all five of them together, they can create suits of armor and mech designs and stuff within 5 minutes. And one time made a black hole powered lawnmower.
Sounds like it could be kind of entertaining.
It is entertaining. They all start like talking in unison, and like the main character's name is Art, and he's actually just human, but all of these other people are his roommates.
Nice.
And the author of the art strip, he actually personifies himself as a small hamster that pops up every once in a while.
I live in California.
We got corn.
No.
Here.
We got California stuff here.
I got New York stuff, and it's expensive.
We're all like surfers, dude. We're like all totally surfers, man. I mean, I live right by the ocean, and it's gnarly.
What?
I'm actually surfing right now.
You're awesome.
It's every time I hear that voice, right. I think of the turtle, Crush, from Finding Nemo. And if you guys have ever gone to Disneyland, do Turtle Talk with Crush, because it is the funnest thing in the world.
That's if I remember.
I don't think I'm ever going to get a chance to go there.
Oh. Drat. It's interesting because it's an interactive cartoon where they must have, like, someone behind the scenes that is doing the voice, and then they just have, like, a program that matches the lip sync or something. Because you can't pre-program the things this guy's saying. He's pointing people out in the audience, and he's responding exactly to what they're doing. And it's crazy.
It might be some creepy old guy hooked up to motion capture.
Probably, but... some creepy old
guy.
That's right, come in here and watch my show.
You boys want to come back here and have some popsicles?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wouldn't mind going back and have some popsicles. My voice is bad right now.
I'm just thinking about the mushroom paper ball.
Okay.
Oh, God. Hank Hill reference.
Oh, wait. I haven't done Hank Hill in like 20 minutes.
Three, two, one, do it.
Oh, did I tell you? I've been watching Hank of the Hill on Adult Swim.
Hank of the Hill?
Awesome. No, that's what I did. Hank, when King of the Hill comes on, I sing along with the entire theme song in Hank Hill's voice, like,
This was the King of the Hill theme as sung to you by Nitro Kazan.
After two bowls of apple crack.
Yes. Coca-Cola.
Apple crack. You know, it's like, this show brought to you by Apple Crack. Windows Vista. It's the Vista for your Windows.
I'm running Windows Vista, okay?
Hey, so am I.
Sorry.
Shut up. I'm actually looking
I'm
at
running.
The logo as we see it right now.
I am running Windows XP Home. I'm not even running Pro. But it's Service Pack 3. But I also have a Linux box here.
Oh,
which
cool.
I'm trying to switch to Ubuntu Linux. I don't even know if I pronounced that correctly.
It's Linux.
The only thing really keeping me from switching to Ubuntu is there's a few programs that have to be run in Windows to work well, and that's, you know, Flash and Photoshop. I'm still running Windows and running my Photoshop on that, you know, but
What's really interesting is when the people do those things where they hack, like, say, they have an Apple computer, and they hack it so they can run Windows on the Apple, so they can use both programs instead of just using Apple and a PC.
Oh, yeah. I had a friend who wanted to real-life troll the Apple Genius Bar at the Apple Store, and so he walked in, and he said, yeah, I'm having trouble installing OS X. And I'm like, yeah? I was like, well, I've been trying to install it on my PC, but I can't quite get it to work.
Oh, gosh. That's when everyone just looks at him and goes, you're silly. So does anyone else have any personal favorite webcomic they'd like to speak about?
I don't. I'm not gonna pimp my own, because that
go
just ain't right.
Oh, that's right. You do have your own webcomic. That's right, at www.nitrokazam.com.
Yeah, but it's not any good, so don't bother.
I heard a little birdie come over here, and he was like, tweet in my ear, and I was like, hey, what's that, little birdie? What are you saying? He's like, apple crack. I'm like, oh, really? And then he was like, nitrokazam.com. I was like, oh, man, I should go there while I'm eating apple crack. Yeah, just don't do it.
I've already gone to the future, and I know how it's going to end. It involves apple crack.
Oh, my gosh.
And cracker cola.
Oh, no. What'd you do, hack my computer
and
get my script?
No, I'm from the future. I gave you the script. Oh, God, time paradox.
Marty!
Your future kill
right. Do something about your kids, Marty! I have to take you back to the future!
Gee, Doc, you sound kind of bad. What happened to you?
My tongue fell out, Marty!
Oh, God, we gotta go back in time to save you.
His tongue is in the Old West.
I'm almost glad that, I really hope they never try to either reboot Back to the Future, which I'm pretty sure they will eventually, or make another sequel.
I hope they do.
What, make a sequel?
You hope they do?
Yeah, because it's my favorite movie of all time, and I don't care how bad the sequel is, as long as there's something, I'll watch it.
Yeah. Well,
that's
and
how
it's
bad
kind of,
I am.
I'm arguably the same way, where I was like, I love Star Wars so much, and then the new Star Wars was coming out, and I'm like, I must go see. And then I saw Episode One, and I was kind of like, yeah, I liked that, right? It was Star Wars.
The
Force is microscopic organisms.
Yes, it had Jar Jar.
The Force is apparently little microscopic organisms that talk to you.
Mm-hmm. And there's Jar Jar.
People wanted to kill Jar Jar.
Yeah.
Except he lived.
Well, Jar Jar's an abomination.
Oh, I got a funny story.
Oh, tell us. Do tell.
This is the Funny Story Podcast. Okay, this one place I used to work, there was a guy who chewed tobacco, and he was allowed to in the office. Mm-hmm. And so I was working a late night like I often did at that place because they worked me. I was drinking. I bought like 2 cases of Starbucks Frappuccino bottles.
Product placement. Starbucks Frappuccino. You can't find it at NaturalKazam.com.
No, you can't, but it is good stuff. And so I was drinking some of that working, and I had an empty bottle sitting on my desk, and the guy came up, and he said, "Are you done with that bottle?" I'm like, "Yeah." I thought he was going to throw it in the trash for me. I said, "Thanks." No. He spit his chewing tobacco out in that bottle and then put it back on my desk in front of me. And I was like, ew.
No comment. True story.
But I'm sure it's true, but what does it have to do with Jar Jar?
Oh, because I gave him a nickname, Jar Jar Binks.
Oh.
Oh, that is... Okay. That is kind of funny. I get it.
Good night, everybody.
Like oh, you're Yakko Warner now?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Yakko. I was just using his catchphrase, or one of his catchphrases.
Wheel of Morality, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn. One of my favorite things on Animaniacs was one of the Pinky and the Brain skits they had. And Brain did his usual, Pinky, are you pondering what I'm pondering? And Pinky replied with, yeah, Brain, but how are we going to find a hose for all of those ducks? And I was just kind of like, what? It's so just off the wall. I'm like, I don't even know if I should laugh. Is that supposed to imply something?
Unspeakable things.
Yes. Flip mojo.
Applesauce. So, yeah.
Applesauce. Because applesauce is gangsta. It's not even gangster. It's gangsta Word. With an H. Falcon Punch?
Falcon Punch.
Hey, Captain Falcon, do you want any punch? Punch? Punch. No, I mean punch. Just punch. Punch.
Yes.
Show your moves. No, please don't show me your moves, Captain Falcon.
Oh.
And then someone else pops in and is like, who made him a fighter? I thought he was like, you know, all he did was pilot. Yeah. That's like if suddenly, you know, Speed Racer could do Taekwondo.
Cool.
He's like, I'm going to trip you, huh? Okay, well, I think we've been talking for long enough and yakking all of your ears off. Thank you for joining us for the second episode of this podcast, and I hope you guys all have a good day. This is TZM Hero signing out.
Till next time. This is Nitrocosm.
This is Kelrodex. You might see me again. You might not. Maybe Starchild will be here. I don't care. Good night, everybody.